Thank you, Mr. Burns, and wonderful Sabbath day to all of you. Let me get set up here a little bit, doing things a little bit differently today. Trying a new technology, but hopefully it doesn't fail me. When we think about leadership and leadership qualities, what's important for today, some may say it deals with vision. If you want someone, say as your president of the United States, you want someone with vision. You want someone with boldness. Well, what does God say we want as far as characteristics? We want someone who's driven by the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. If we want someone driven by the fruit of the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, and we're subjecting ourselves to God the Father and being led by His power, then we have fruit. And reading from the New American Standard, it has slightly different words and descriptions. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Is gentleness a leadership quality? Another English word that is often translated from the Greek word there is meekness. Moses was known as a meek leader. He was a great leader. But if you took a poll of what today's culture and today's environment and today's people would say, what makes a great leader, I doubt it if meekness would make the list, let alone rank up on the list. How should we as Christians approach this concept of gentleness? How can we as Christians grow and learn to be leaders, leaders of ourselves, leaders of our family, leaders in the congregation, to become and prepare to become a kingdom of priests? So today we'd like to dig into this word gentleness and review the richness that it has for us Christians today. Let's start with the meaning of the word. The Greek word is praoutes. Praoutes. For those of you who like to look it up in our the Strong's Concordance, some of us reference computers and tablets and so forth for the concordance, but others of us actually like to carry around the 15-pound book. I won't say who, but Mr. Whitehawk must have very strong arms. So anyway, the Greek number, G4239, gentleness. It can also be translated consideration, gentleness, humility, meekness. It's used 11 times in the New Testament, including here in Galatians 5. This is one of those Greek words that it's very difficult to translate with just one English word. It's not fair, or it does not do it justice to just say gentle or meek. Because some will try to translate it into meekness, and often meekness implies weakness. In other words, if someone's meek, the connotation in today's world, if someone's meek, then they are easily rolled over. They're not going to respond. They're quiet. They're weak. But this is not a proper translation. If we look at how this Greek word praoutes was used by the contemporaries, we see that it means it is a quality of a man whose feelings and emotions are under perfect control. Let me read that again. It is the quality of a man or woman whose feelings and emotions are under perfect control. It doesn't describe a type of action, or how strong the action is, or if it's a weak action, it's the emotions are under perfect control. And as well, serenity and the power, it's also translated, serenity and the power not to be led away by emotion, but to control emotion as right reason dictates. Also, another interpretation or use contemporary to the writings of the New Testament, the regulation of the movement of the soul caused by anger. So when we think about praoutes, or gentleness, the English word, praoutes, is being able to control one's emotions. It's not a question of, as we read the last definition there, it's not an explanation or meaning of if one gets angry. We do get angry. Or if one gets emotional with hearing something or seeing something. It's a question of control. And how do we control the actions and the response? So that's the meaning of the word. And we look at praoutes, gentleness. We can look at gentleness in the receiving of the word. Receiving of instructions of God's word. Let's turn to James chapter 1 and verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, or gentleness, I believe, as the King James, New King James reads, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. That word there, gentleness, is praoutes. In praoutes, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. When you contemplate what James is writing here, it goes deep. We are instructed to receive God's word, either hearing in our sermons and messages today, your personal Bible study, reading the scriptures, reading booklets, reading extra or different material. We receive God's instructions. And it can drive us to emotion. It should. Depends on how you were reared. When you think of God's word and you hear a message, You may display emotion right away. I was had some folks over for dinner a number of years back. Tammy and I did in North Carolina. It was good friends, and I wasn't aware of it at the time, but he was pretty Pentecostal. So we sat down to the meal, and I started asking the blessing on the meal, and he started responding. You know, amen, yes, Jesus. I wasn't quite used to that. He had no problems with the emotions of when it comes to God's word. Others, we may feel that we shouldn't show emotion. But I would hold out that, yes, we definitely should show emotion when we hear God's word. It should drive us, but should always be in balance and in control. Because when we hear God's word, it could drive us to certain excitement. And how do we govern that excitement? It might drive us to a certain bit of sorrow. We read things that, you know, how to treat one another that we're not implementing as we should. It drives us to a certain emotion. How do we respond? How do we govern that emotion so that we can rightly apply God's word, his teachings, and how we should act? I like that statement. With gentleness, or with praoutes, receiving the word. If we look down in verses 19 and 20, as James indicates, you know, we need to be able to receive the instructions with God properly before we apply it. Verse 19, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. It's how we receive the word. and how we apply that emotion that should be coming in us. Borrowing from William Barclay, in his commentary, he describes receiving the word in praeutes as the teachable spirit is docile and tractable and therefore humble enough to learn. The teachable spirit is without resentment and without anger and is therefore able to face the truth, even when it hurts and condemns. The scriptures are described as a sword, dividing. The teachable spirit is not blinded by its own overmastering prejudices, but is clear-eyed to the truth. The teachable spirit is not seduced by laziness, but is so self-controlled that it can willingly and faithfully accept the discipline of learning. And praeutes, or gentleness, describes the perfect conquest of control of everything in a man's nature, which would be a hindrance to his seeing, learning, and obeying the truth. Our human nature can get in the way in our learning and our seeing and understanding. But this is gentleness. This is applying gentleness in the fruit of the Spirit. If we do want to be a useful priest in the kingdom of priests, a helper, a leader, a servant, we need to be able to apply praeutes in our learning and our understanding and receiving of God's words and instructions. Gentleness or praeutes, continuing on, point three, we need to see gentleness in our relationship with others. Praeutes in our relationship with others. The gentleness which we show in receiving God's word leads to a gentleness in then how we interact with others. It's built. As we just read in James, and you know, if we apply this concept, if we ask for God's help and we're able to see this fruit display in our lives, it's first built upon how we hear a word and then how we interact, how we relate. Let's look at James. Let's go back a couple chapters here. James chapter 3 and verse 13. James 3 and verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, in the gentleness of wisdom. Once again, this is the New American Standard. The King James and the New King James uses meekness by his good behavior, his deeds, and the meekness of wisdom. Once again, I don't think meekness quite applies it. It's or for that matter, gentleness. But praeutes, of perfect control of our emotions and how we respond. And that's what wisdom is. That's what wisdom is. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 21. 1 Corinthians 4:21. Breaking into the thought, and Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he asks a rhetorical question. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 21. He says, What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? A spirit of control. You know, Paul is admonishing the Corinthians, but asks the questions, you know, what do you want? Do you want the stick? Or do you want the admonishment with love and my complete control of my emotion? It's a rhetorical question. What would we want? When we're learning and receiving, oftentimes we want to receive instructions. I used to work in a company that the CEO was a bit of a lunatic, a bit out of control. I've never heard someone actually cuss out another employee in front of a group, and he was one to do this. He was one to bring the stick. His thoughts and his bringing when it comes to leadership and how you teach and how you motivate people was with the rod. That only works for a while. You know, there's a proverbial saying, you know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. But instead, Paul is talking about a communication and a teaching that is in control. That doesn't mean it's soft. I've had bosses come in to my office or cubicle and be very clear. Not be gentle on our terms of use. Be very, very specific. But he did it with respect. He did it with control. He did it in a teaching moment. And you learn from those examples. You learn and grow. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. And Paul is asking him, this is what we want. Obviously, we want the praoutes. It goes without saying, if that's what we want, then is that what we should give to others? Is that how we should teach others? Is that how we should relate to others? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." This is the instruction, an example that Christ gave. That is, he hung on the cross. His attitude towards those was one of control, of meekness, of understanding. It wasn't one of anger and out of control emotion. It was, "Forgive them, fathers, because they don't know what they do. They don't know what they do. They are part of a plan and your plan, and that this had come to pass." His response is with control. And it's the same as we read here, how we should respond to others is one with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, that is, the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5. Actually, in the Beatitudes, I meant to say, in Matthew 5:5, you know, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Another translation of meek there is gentle. In the same root word. God is looking for those to inherit the earth, to be ruling with him in his kingdom, those that are able to provide a balanced response. Not weak and meek. Sometimes it's a stronger response. Sometimes it's a firm response. Sometimes it's firm instruction out of love. But it's always with balance and with control. How do we respond? Being able to bridle our feelings and emotions in our relationships, to bridle them, not to remove them or not to suppress them, but to bridle them in our relationship with each other, it's paramount. It's how we learn and how we grow and develop as individuals and as a community, as a church, as a fellowship. So, gentleness is one of being control. and we think of our relationships with each other and with God, we need to apply praoutes. Praoutes. So how do we go about these steps? You know, how do we go about this? Excuse me. You know, what are the steps? How do we apply this in everyday life? I think we all would sit there and, yes, I want to display a fruit of the Spirit. I want to exercise that. I want to grow. I want to develop. So how do we do this? How do we develop praoutes? You know, we have plenty of opportunity to develop the fruit of gentleness. As parents, you know, how we respond, how we teach. As mentors. There's one thing beautiful about a congregation is the chance to interact with different people of different backgrounds and different experiences. And we have young and old sitting together and learning and being able to talk. And we have an opportunity to teach. Mr. Salvadori was talking about his experience with music and his always smile and encouragement to those who also participate and give. We are mentors. We're bosses. We're co-workers. So a lot of opportunity to develop this fruit of gentleness. So there are a few steps to keep in mind. First, what is the end in mind? It's amazing. Stephen Covey wrote a book two or three decades ago, and it still ends up on the bestseller list year after year in the business books, because he wrote it, because he is a religious person, but he wrote it from a application of principles that you can find in Scripture. And one of his comments was always, begin with the end in mind. So what is the end in mind? We're looking at a chance to practice praoutes and gentleness with one another. What are we trying to accomplish? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must be quarrelsome. Must not be quarrelsome. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, praoutes, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to the senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held by him to do his will. Here, Paul is in his instructions to Timothy, he first talks about how one should respond. But in verse 25, he gives the reason why. What's the end in mind? Correcting those that God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape. The end in mind, in Paul's instructions to Timothy, is when you do this, is to bring someone back to the fold. And intent, that is his end in mind. He's giving to Timothy. In our interaction, when we want to practice praoutes and gentleness, a controlled emotion and response, something needs to be addressed. I need to go to someone and work out an issue. I need to go and help someone or share with them my concern about something that's happened. What is the end in mind? You know, if our goal is to get something off of our chest, to let someone know that you know, I just want to let you know that you hurt my feelings. And I want to belittle that, but to put someone in their place, or to think, I want to go put someone in their place, I want to go tell someone that they've sinned or they've wronged, is it because of our own feelings? We want to put someone in their place? We need to ask ourselves, you know, do we have the right motive? Why are we going to the person? Why are we applying the concept and the principle of going to our brother? If our intent is to go with the desire to put someone in their place, then maybe it's not applying gentleness. It's not applying praoutes. I want to let you know how mad I got. Now, the discussions of feelings, the discussions of anger, the discussions of how mad I got may come into the discussion. It may be an important part of the discussion. It depends on the circumstances. But that shouldn't be the catalyst of why we go. The catalyst of why we should go is because we see a friend in need. We see a brother or a sister that needs help. We have the right end in mind. The next step is then, do we, through Jesus Christ, have the spirit of gentleness, or praoutes? Do we have our emotions under control in how we interact? Are we in control? Jesus Christ, in his examples, he was always in control of his emotion. When the Jews were threatening to stone, when they were threatening to stone Jesus Christ, he was in control with his emotions. I already used the example that he was on the cross. When Peter was responding and cut the ear off the guard when they came to arrest Jesus Christ, he was always under control in his response. Even to the point where, in John 2, where he was going into the temple, he was denouncing the Pharisees, and he was showing emotion. He had anger. It's not a question of, all right, if you have anger, then you're not demonstrating meekness. You're not demonstrating praoutes. No, and here in John 2, Jesus Christ had anger with the disruption or the defacing that was going on in the temple, the complete disregard for his father's house. But even at that point, he was in control. He was in control in his display of anger. This is something at times is difficult to do as parents. Hypothetically, I may have a child or two that may not listen at times, may be a little disrespectful. Hypothetically. And how I respond makes all the difference in the world of getting to the point, to the end in mind. And I have to admit, I have been at times, you know, nose to nose from at least one of my children, showing my temper. At that time, I was not practicing praoutes. I was not practicing gentleness. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean then standards don't matter, or it's okay for children to be disrespectful. No, that's not the point. I just was not in control. And oftentimes, when we look at family situations that have a tremendous amount of friction, it's typically at least one of the parties not showing a sense of control. The fruit of the virtue the virtue of gentleness. Let's actually look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you always to help these women who have shared my struggle. I'm realizing, you know, this is not what I want. I was in Philippians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Not Philippians, Ephesians chapter 4. You're probably thinking, what in the world am I talking about? That's all right, my kids also say the same thing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the eternal, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We see here this same application. There's an end in mind. And the end in mind is that we want to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And in doing that, we walk in a worthy manner worthy of our calling, with humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. This fruit of or virtue of gentleness, of prudentes, comes from having a proper appreciation for oneself, of one's own ability and a position apart from God. And do we view ourselves as, you know, the all-knowing Savior? When we think of relationships and how we respond to one another, if we think of ourselves as never erring, of being the smarter one, of being the more converted one, it's a little difficult to demonstrate a humility that's required. If we appreciate our own self and our own ability, or our ability apart from God, because where would we be without God's Spirit? Where would we be without God's help? And it's only through the grace of God that we may have an understanding or a certain maturity to say, I can help somebody here. I can be of benefit. And it helps us to put the right perspective on how we interact. To appreciate the frailties of others, as we read here in Ephesians 4. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. A show of tolerance. I mentioned the example before. As parents, there's an opportunity for us to show praotis and gentleness. There's opportunities in the congregation, as a friend, as a mentor, as an older person, as a younger person, as someone who has an opinion on something they would like to see differently, done differently. Any aspect of how we fellowship and congregate and pursue the will of God. There's opportunity for us to show praotes, to control. There is a need to correct or to teach or to show control. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Often when we think about, we hear about the activities or what fathers should do, it's in Ephesians. But this time let's look at Colossians 3, chapter 21. Colossians 3, 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. In this case, the example is of a father and how they interact with their children. The same thing applies to our interaction with each other. We hope to grow. We do expect to grow as a congregation, to continue to have new people that want to attend or come and visit. Or there may be those who've attended for quite a while but might be struggling, on the edge. And how we demonstrate gentleness may impact them. The last thing that we want to do is to do something or say something to someone where they lose heart. Mrs. Pawnee likes to tell the story of when she first came to services. I'm not going to get it exactly right. I apologize that she came and made a comment to a man standing there, and he dressed her down. She didn't say the right thing. She didn't do the right thing. And you know, of course, we're all very thankful that she had a certain perseverance and wanted to hear the word of God. But if she was maybe in a different place, that she might have lost heart. So we want to be careful of how we approach others. You know, what is our tone? What type of words do we use? Do we use accusatory words or do we use helpful words? You know, I this, I felt that. You did this. Or is our tone and our use of priorities one of building, of teaching, of mentoring? Have you thought about, you know, this happened? Did you consider how it might have impacted so-and-so? What do you think they felt? Have you gone and talked to them? The words and the tones and the actions that we use can make a big difference between mentoring and growing and teaching or causing someone to lose heart. And then the final step is we want to maintain the spirit of gentleness and be willing to move on. Maintain the spirit of gentleness and be willing to move on. Let's look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. Actually, begin in verse 1. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Once again, the New American Standard, the word there, consideration, is prautes. So, to be ready for every good deed, to malign known one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing a balanced, a controlled response for all men. Verse 3, for also we once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasure, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. When we apply gentleness and controlled emotion, we do it through a maturity of understanding. As we just read and we talked about a little while ago, that when we have disagreements, when we've wronged, we understand the weakness that each one comes sometimes to a disagreement. And you do work things out, or you try to work things out. Sometimes they work out well. Sometimes you maybe agree to disagree for the time being. But either way, then it's a spiritual maturity to move on. It might be a little difficult to forget, but we do forgive. Why? The end in mind. It's because you want to help them grow. And you want them to help you grow. And collectively, you want to grow. And you can't do that if you don't demonstrate praeutes and that love for one another. At this time, God is working with all of us to grow and to develop. He's looking to develop a kingdom of priests. Someone that can help bring in His kingdom. And through that, it's an important lesson is how we learn to deal with one another. How we learn to be gentle, to be meek, always in control. This is one of the fruits of the Spirit. That we learn and that we apply to grow, to be able to be a servant. Have a good Sabbath.